Book of Job, chapter 23. Book of Job, chapter 23. I'd like to read verses 11 and verse 12. This is Job speaking. It says, "My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." By way of background, we're all familiar with the book of Job, but the book, of course, opens with Job happy, healthy, wealthy, has a wife, 10 children, and then without warning, things suddenly or seemingly fall apart. He loses his children, his riches, his health, his social status. And at first, we know that Job bore his calamities with amazing submission. He said, "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." Later, we see Job sitting in the ashes, scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery. His wife would eventually come to him and say, "Curse God and die." Job's friends gather around him, sat with him in silence for 7 days and 7 nights. And they were the most comfort to him when they sat there in silence. But they sat there for 7 days and 7 nights. They're identifying or trying to identify with Job's sufferings. Job finally broke the silence after 7 days and 7 nights in chapter 3 and verse 1. And basically what he said was, "I wish I'd never been born. Wish I'd never been born." And then he began to question why God permitted him to be born, why God permitted him to live. And that, of course, set the stage for Job's friends to speak. And began a cycle that you see throughout the book of Job. One of his friends would speak, Job would respond. Another friend would speak, Job would respond. Another friend would speak, Job would respond. And you see that cycle repeated 3 times throughout the book of Job. Read here is our text as the second of these 3 cycles. Nowhere in these cycles do his friends go to God for help. I mean, it's not recorded that they go to God for help, that God would give them understanding of Job's sufferings. They never ask God to open their minds, to illuminate their understanding, so that they could truly help Job. But Job's friends were bent, as many are, upon analyzing his suffering. And they're looking for causes. They want to know why. And of course, they're going to try to figure out a solution, a remedy for Job's problems. They use theology. They use sound theology. I mean, as you look at what his friends said, their theology is pretty sound. And they used their theology and the limited insight that they had, and they came to the conclusion that Job, that this suffering was sent from God as a punishment for sin. And then they judged Job as a hypocrite. They're basically telling him that you, under the cover of religion and piety, have exercised oppression and tyranny. And as they speak with great confidence that what they were saying was absolute fact. They really believed that. They believed what they were saying was, this is the way it is. And it does not appear to ever cross their mind that their perception of God was very limited. It never seemed to cross their mind. It seems as you listen to their speech, as you read what they say, they can't possibly be wrong. This is the way it is. Job, you've sinned. God is punishing you for your sin. You need to repent. That's it. And all three believed God was holy. They all believed that God punished sin. But their error was is that they assumed Job's guilt. They believed that suffering was the result of sin. And the greater the suffering, the greater the sin. So in their puny little minds, they are just certain that Job is guilty of some great sin. And he must simply just come clean. Each had their theory. The essence of the words of Eliphaz was, Job, you're guilty. Repent. That was the essence of everything he said. And the essence of the words of Bildad was, Job, you're a hypocritical liar. You're lying to us. You're not telling us the truth. You're a hypocrite. And the essence of Zophar's words were, Job, you're hopeless. There's no hope for you. As you can see, that's quite encouraging. So all of the, as the discourses went on, Job's friends, because you read on in the book, his friends become more and more bold in their accusations. Keep in mind, this is the second of the three cycles that we've just read. And they become more and more hateful toward Job. And Job's frustration is building. And by the time you get to the end of the book, Job's about had it. And despair is increasing in Job until Job talked to God, and God talked to Job. And then, of course, everything changed. But in chapter 22, Eliphaz accuses Job. In verse 5 through 7, he says, Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of the clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. Those are the accusations that Eliphaz makes. And then notice in verse 9, Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore, snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. He's very confident in his accusations. And then in Job 23, it opens with, "Then Job answered and said." So this 23rd chapter is Job's response. Job is responding to the accusations of Eliphaz. And he begins by stating that the degree of his suffering is beyond what he's able to display or express. He states that in verse 2. He says, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." My stroke is heavier than my groaning. He says, I can't even express the sorrow and the suffering that I feel. And then he goes on and he describes in verses 3 through 9 his longing and his pursuit of God. He says, I'm looking for God, but I can't find Him. And he describes that in verses 3 through 9. Then in verse 10, he declares his confidence in God. Though I cannot find Him, I am confident in Him. And then in verses 11 and 12, the verses that we've read, Job is vindicating himself. Again, keep in mind the accusation. Job is vindicating himself by stating the overall course of his life. And what Job says here in verses 11 and 12 needs to be the overall course of our life. We realize that we all fail, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the overall course of our life ought to fit in here in verses 11 and 12. Job's not saying, every single hour of every single day I've done these things. But he's stating his overall course of life. And if we can get a hold of what Job says here in verses 11 and 12, it will enable us to avoid and escape what we talked about this morning, the insanity of sin. There are ways to escape the insanity of sin. And so we want to speak tonight on a pattern of avoiding the insanity of sin. So we want to look at the overall course of Job's life as it's presented here in verses 11 and 12. First of all, it is described in three basic statements that he makes. He says, "My foot hath held his steps." That's statement number one. Statement number two, "His way have I kept and not declined." And then statement number three, "Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips." In those three statements, look at them. Look at them. There are the Lord's steps. My foot hath kept his steps. There is the Lord's way. His way have I kept. And there are the commandments of the Lord. So, in each of those three things, Job relates himself to them. He says, I've held his steps, I've kept his way, I have not turned back from his commandments. So he relates himself to these three things. So these are the statements of someone who knew God. Someone who knew God to be Lord. One who served the Lord. One who saw the Lord as worthy to be lived for and served. In these three statements, there is a declaration. My way is God's way. That's what he's saying. My way is God's way. He's making a declaration that he did not seek his own pleasure, nor did he seek to carry out his own will, nor to follow the fashion of the times, nor conform himself to the opinions or customs of the times. There's a declaration that God is the priority of his life. You see that in each of these statements. God was the focus of his life. So again, notice the three statements. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. And neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. And as you read those three statements, do you see anywhere in those statements where Job sets conditions or stipulations? Nowhere. There are no conditions. There are no stipulations. This was simply the overall course of his life. It needs to be the overall course of ours as well. So let's look at these three statements. We hear Job say, my foot hath held his steps. That says much more than most people look at. It says much more. First of all, the words display great carefulness on Job's part. His steps. His steps. He observed God. He observed God's steps. He observed the minute details of the Lord. He looked upon the precepts of God as being a footprint which the Lord made for him to set his foot in. That's how we need to look at God. That's how we need to look at Christ as it's presented to us in the Word of God. It's God making a footprint for us and saying, put your foot in there. And I'm telling you, if you do that, you'll escape the insanity that is all around us. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the conditions, look at the steps of the Lord. Look at the footprint of the Lord. What Job is saying here is that he observed the details. He had observed the particulars of the example of the Lord. He had observed the steps of God's justice. He observed the particulars of the justice of God. Why? So that Job could follow that, so Job could be just. Remember, one of Eliphaz's accusations was that Job was unjust. He mistreated widows. He mistreated the poor. Job had observed the steps of God's mercy. Why should we observe the steps of God's mercy, the details of God's mercy? So that we can follow those steps. So that we too can be merciful. Job had observed the steps of God's bounty, his graciousness, if you will. Why? So he could do the same. We're to imitate the Lord. Job had observed the steps, the minute details of God's truthfulness, so that Job could be truthful. He'd observe the minute details of the forgiveness of God. Don't just observe the forgiveness of God. Observe the steps. Observe the details of God's forgiveness. We've got to go further than just the surface of any subject in the Word of God. Got to go further than just the surface of God. The steps. Not just the walk. The steps that make up that walk. So this is an individual that is interested in the details of God. They are the words of an individual that labored to be exact in his obedience to God. My foot hath held his steps. Again, it's not just speaking of the overall character of God, but the steps the detail. Job is a man who wants to be exact in his obedience. And the truth is, if we're not exact in our obedience, it's really not obedience. It's disobedience. So a lot today of what is called obedience is not obedience at all. It's not that we're just to follow the right road. It's more to it than that. We're to follow His footprints in the road. There's a lot more detail than just following the road, but following His steps. So Job was very exact. To be obedient in all things. To be obedient in all places. No one is obedient by accident. We have to observe His steps. Now notice what it says. He says, "My foot hath held His steps." That's much more than "I have walked in His steps." Now it includes that, no doubt. But it goes much further than that. It doesn't say, "I have walked in His steps." It says, "My foot hath held His steps." That means I have taken firm hold upon God's steps. That's more than just walking. It goes, it's what we read in Psalm 18:33. "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth my feet upon my high places." Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19, "He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk in high places." Now, hind in the Old Testament was a female red deer. And like a mountain goat, they have grip in their feet. "My feet hath held His steps." My feet have gripped His steps. That little deer could, because of its feet, could stand in the most precarious and difficult places. They could travel across impossible terrain. And they could climb the steepest cliffs. All because of the feet. Because the feet had the ability to grip. And Job is saying, "My feet have held, my feet have gripped His steps." That's much more than just following. The hind had feet that could keep them above what was below and put them in superior position. Because of the way that God made her in times of danger, she was able to run and never get off track. And that's what this means. My feet have held His steps. I have not gotten off track. Doesn't mean that He never, ever misstepped. But the overall course of His life was He stayed on track. That'll keep you from the insanity of sin. Stay on track. Don't let anything cause you to get off track. Because if you get off track, you don't know how far you're going to walk off track. And you may find yourself somewhere you don't want to be. So this hind was able to stay on track. The enemy would pursue, but that little deer could stay on track. And Job says, "My feet held His steps." A lot has happened in the life of Job. Lose 10 children. Lose your wife for the most part. Lose everything you have. But for the most part, Job stayed on track. That's what we have to do. That'll keep us from the insanity that's all around us. My feet have held His steps. Oh, we need to have our feet riveted in God's steps. We need to be riveted. Today, all it takes is a shift of the wind, and many of God's people are just beside themselves. They can't handle anything. We need our feet riveted. And you talk to people who are backslidden, and that's their whole life. I mean, their overall course of life is away from God. And I've been around long enough now that I've observed people. No, the course of their whole life's that way. It's not just every now and then. I mean, that's the course of their life. Every now and then, they get right. But that won't last long before they go off course again. We need to be just the opposite. Yes, we're going to go off course. We're human. But that should not be the overall course of our life. Our overall course should be we stay on course, we stay on track. But you talk to these people whose overall course is away from God, and they act as if those who are faithful never had a trial in their life. They're the lucky ones. God's people have trials all the time. God's people have burdens. There's no one here that hasn't had a trial in their life, a great trial. But that we have people here, their feet have been riveted in God's steps. That's a wonderful thing. Those are godly examples. They've had storms in their life. And yes, from time to time, they get off track. We all do. But you look at their overall course and their feet are riveted in God's steps. That's a good life. And that will keep us from the insanity. I may not agree and with everything that someone does and vice versa. But I respect anyone who has been through trials in life and they're still serving God. Because their feet, they're not just walking, their feet have held His steps. We need to be that people. And many are. And then notice the second statement, His way have I kept and not departed. That doesn't mean that 24/7 Job kept God's way. It doesn't mean that Job 24/7 never once declined, but the overall course of his life, he could say, His way have I kept and not declined. What that means is Job adhered to God's way as his rule of life. He did not leave God's way. He did not leave God's way to indulge his own fancies. He did not leave God's way to follow someone else. He did not leave God's way to follow something else. He simply says, His way have I kept, and I have not declined from that way. So not only was there adherence, but there was continuance. And there was progress in God's way. That needs to be true of all of us. We need to adhere. We need to continue. And we need to be making progress in the way of God. When he says, His way have I kept, he is saying, I have not grown tired of God's way. I have not grown tired of God's holiness. Now you and I grow tired. We grow weary of what's going on all around us. I mean, I get tired of it. You get tired of it. But we need to never get tired of God's way. When you get tired of God's way, you're in big trouble. Because you're going to leave it. And you're going to get caught up in the insanity. What he's saying here is that he kept the way of God on and on and on and on.
He kept the way of God. 10 children die. And Job kept the way of God. There's an individual that's a blessing. And again, God's people. God's people here. God's people that we know have had trials. None of us have lost 10 children, but that's not the point. We're not comparing who's had it worse. The point is, everyone's had trials. Everyone. But there's some who just continue on. And we thank God for such. And again, there are those here that have lost children to death. Still here. They're still here. Feet are riveted in God's steps. They have kept God's way. There's been difficulties. There's been obstacles. There's been storms. We have a couple of generations now. They can't handle anything. They can't handle anything. It's sad. There has to be some tenacity. There has to be some conviction. What he's saying, again, not every day is the same. But through it all, he kept it to that road. Not only did he keep to the road, he kept to the steps in the road. He says, I have not declined. It means that he did not begin running hard and then sit down out of breath. One of the saddest things is to watch someone be faithful for decades and then quit at the end. That's terribly sad. I've seen it. You've seen it. It's terribly sad. Have not declined. That doesn't mean that there were days that he never slowed down. But the overall course of his life, he just kept on going. He had not slackened his pace. In other words, there was consistency. You know, a lot of people today become critical if you have a church full of older people. Not so sure you should be critical of that. Those are people that have been good. There's been consistency in their life. And to me, it's a testimony that God has been good to that people. They've kept the faith. Then he goes on the third statement. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his Lord. Commandments signify God's law. It conveys the idea of his authoritative order. Here is an individual that submits to the authority of God, doesn't have a problem with the authority of God. If an individual has a problem with the authority of God, their life's going to be a mess. They're going to get caught in that cycle of insanity. We must not have a problem with the authority of God. He says, I did not move away from God. Doesn't mean that we don't have days where we move away. We don't believe in sinless perfection. But the overall course of his life, he did not move away from the Lord. So Job desired the steps, the way, and the commandments of God. And he found delight in the steps, in the way, the commandments of God. Do we find delight in the steps and the way and the commandments of God? It was the steps and the way and the commandment of God that defined his life. What is it that defines our life? Everyone's life is defined by something or someone. What is it that defines our life? It should be him. His steps, his way, his commandments. But then notice these steps, his way, and the commandments. Those will protect us from the insanity and the dysfunction that is all around us. You want protection from all the craziness going on all around you? Take good grip of His steps. Stay in His way. Follow His command. Those things are His steps, His way, His commandments. They're boundaries. They're a hedge. You get beyond that hedge, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. A lot of things can happen and you're not going to like them when you get beyond the hedge of God. And these things serve as a hedge. But then there's a fourth statement. In verse 12, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. And I believe in this statement we see what gave Job sustenance and inspiration. It was the Word of God. I esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Now I suppose that Job did not have a single page of inspired writing. But God did speak to him without question. For you and I, the main vehicle of God's communication to us is the Holy Spirit using this book. That is the main vehicle of God's communication to us. And that's why it's called the Word of God, the words of God, the oracles of God throughout the book. It's God communicating to us. And His Word is pure. His Word is flawless. His Word is untainted. It's real. It's true. It's right. It's always right. It's never wrong. It's unwavering. It's guaranteed. And it's unfailing. Absolutely reliable. God's Word. We need that conviction. It's that conviction that helps us get a grip in His steps. It's that conviction that keeps us on His way and following His commands. As the Word of God, it's authoritative. That's why a lot of people do not like the Word of God. It's an authority. You can't really argue with it. People know that. It's powerful. It's influential. You can sit down and have a conversation with someone. And they've got a problem. You're giving them counsel and you pull out the Word of God and you can almost see sometimes you want to get out. Get me out of here. It's powerful. We ought to appreciate that power. Job says, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. He did not say, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than the finest of food. Remember the psalmist, Psalm 119. He also esteemed the words of His mouth as above gold. And he said above the finest gold. But what Job says here is more than that. The psalmist says, I have esteemed His word more than riches. You and I can live without riches. We can't live without food. And he says, I have esteemed Thy word more than my necessary food. The food that is necessary to keep me alive. He says, you give me the choice between the necessary food and the Word of God, and I'll take the Word of God. That's quite a statement. You're going to be locked up in prison and they give you a choice You can have food or you can have this Bible. What are you going to take? Almost everyone's going to take food. Job said, I esteem his word more than my necessary food. What you're going to take is what you esteem the most. What you're going to take is what you esteem to be most valuable. So that's quite a statement. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Can we say that with Job? It's that conviction that inspires us to do the other three things that Job has mentioned. There has to be a proper value placed upon the Word of God. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than. And just stop right there. More than. Whatever you can think of to put on the other side of than, that statement should be true. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than whatever you want to put there. More valuable to you. This has to be so. If we're going to live above the absolute insanity, it's all about this. These things have to be true in our life. My foot hath held his steps. Look at our overall life. Can that be said? I believe that can be said of many that are sitting here. Our overall life. My foot hath held his steps. And the truth is, if that is true, the very second that you lose your grip upon his steps, you notice it. You know it, and you get back. You get back. Yes, we go astray. But if this is the overall course of our life, we won't go too far. Because we'll become aware of it immediately. And we get back. His way have I kept and not declined. Well, they're acting like such and such, so I had to. No, you don't. The behavior of others does not dictate your behavior. What dictates our behavior should be his way, his steps. And regardless of what someone else does, somebody needs to stay on track. In all the craziness, somebody has to stay on track. Somebody has to. I mean, a whole church can be falling apart. Somebody has to have some spirituality and stay on track. A marriage can be falling apart. Somebody had better get some spirituality and stay on track. A home, whatever. Oh, that we be that person. Everybody else can be going off track, but we're going to stay on track. We need to be that person. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. No matter what happens, we esteem his word more than our necessary food. This needs to be our life. And if it is, and again, I'll state it again, I believe it is for many that are here. And we thank God for that. If this is our life, if this is the overall course of our life, that's a good life. That's a good life. Nobody, I wouldn't think, would want to be miserable. I wouldn't think that people would want the dysfunction that's all around them. If you don't live right, it's going to happen. It's the result. As people think, I will be the one and only person throughout the history of the world that it won't apply to. You've lost your mind. What makes you think that you will be the one exception in the whole history of the world. That you will not pay the price for sin. God help us that this would be the overall course of our life, that we would encourage one another. Sometime we may just have to whisper to someone, brother, you need to get your eyes on the right thing. You tell them that for their own good. So I pray that we can identify with what we've read here this evening. Brother Larry, if you'd come.